Mental Health Monday Marathon. Tackling the stigma.
Jake Mills is back with us in the studio. Jake, we're moving around a bit today, but it was great to get out and about.
It was good to move.
I say get out and about. We literally went upstairs in the Radio City Tower. Now we're back downstairs in what is quite a comfortable studio.
Yeah, it's a little bit cold though, actually.
Do you think it's cold? I was going to think it was a bit warm in here.
Well,
I was thinking later on.
This is a sitcom, isn't it?
Jake's going to stay with us for the full 24 hours. We're here until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. A couple of organisations actually have kind of name-checked each other, and actually our next organisation has already been name-checked by one Stan Collymore. It's Everton in the Community, and we've got Colin Dolan with us in the studio now. Colin, it's great to see you. He was a participant in Everton in the Community, and also Johnny Garside. Johnny, it's great to see you. Thank you for your time. Fully wearing the Everton colours. Just explain how Everton in the Community works, because it's absolutely part of what Everton Football Club is, right?
Yeah, very much so. We are the official charity of Everton Football Club, celebrating our 30th year this year, and we run a full range of community-led activity programmes that service the local community with a view to identifying needs, supporting vulnerable and at-risk young people, older people, right through to ultimately improve the quality of lives.
Just tell us about the idea about well-being. Is that the one you associate with mental health? Because mental well-being is very much one of the sort of the key phrases that you hear people talk about when it comes to mental health.
Yeah, very much so. It's something that we take very much seriously. It's something that, obviously, as a sporting charity, you know, the first and foremost, the bread and butter of what we do is activities, sports, you know, multi-sports and alike. But across all of those physical components will be a mental component, which is very much overlooked in some respects, and something that we've looked at over the past 10 years and said, well, we might be missing a trick here, because ultimately those two things coexist. You know, mental health and physical health are known as symbiotic, and that they, you know, they don't exist in isolation of one another. They coexist and depend on one another. So being more physically active is great for also mental health and vice versa. So we've kind of utilised it for more than just getting physically active.
So what have you got that's running at the moment in regard to mental health? What sort of provision is there for people?
We've got a number of different mental health programmes. Some will be more specific and targeted, working with people who have developed mental health conditions and are in a state of recovery. Some will be very much down a preventative route, so working with younger people potentially in schools through one of our programmes called Tackling the Blues, which is very much trying to educate young people as to, you know, emotional literacy, what is resilience, how do we build it, how do we build our self-esteem, how do we deal with pressure situations, and just giving them that collateral in their own understanding of the self-awareness to understand, well, when things do arise, I can actually verbalise my emotions with a view to getting, you know, more educated and potentially not going down the route of crisis.
And how are you able to make those connections with young people? Is it through talking about it from a footballing point of view, maybe, or is it simply about placing them maybe within the environment of a football ground or under the banner of Everton in the Community?
It's a myriad of different ways. There's no set formula that we follow as such. And each population group that we try and support and engage with will have its own nuances, in so much as what approach and what method works best. But a universal theme will be, i.e. utilising the power of the badge and the draw of football. And obviously our rich history as a club, but also as a community trust, to know that despite your allegiance, whether you be red, blue or otherwise, that we genuinely just want to serve, and we genuinely just want to help people. So I think that's been our differentiator, in that, you know, people, you know, will no doubt on the pitch have their strong passions for or against Everton, but in the community we have this kind of reputation that you know, you're okay to go to an Everton program in the community, even though you might be a Liverpool fan, and because ultimately we genuinely mean what we do, and we get the results as well.
Speaking of Liverpool fans, good afternoon, Colin Dolan.
Good afternoon.
Great to see you. I think last time we spoke, we came away with the headline, I'm a Liverpool fan, but Everton Football Club saved my life.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, yeah.
Tell us about when you first interacted with Everton in the Community.
Go back to towards the back end of 2012. I'd gone through a period of total isolation for about 6 months after I'd come out of hospital. I was in mental health hospital here in Liverpool for about 8 weeks, following a period of suicidal thoughts. And I was in, my whole intention was I had to end my life. The hospital really does help me. It was fantastic. I actually enjoyed it enjoyed being away in a hospital and getting looked after. However, after I came out, it was very difficult to adjust. I didn't know what to do with myself. Very fortunate that my partner, she's on the ball. She's looking for things for me to do all the time. And she discovered the Everton, the community, Imagine Your Goals programme. Spoke to my CPN about it and said, right, we'll get Colin to go on this. We'll really push him to get involved. Took me a bit of persuading. And I think, as I said to you the last time, the first time that I thought about it seriously, I went, right, OK, Everton have got this programme. Right, let's see what Liverpool have got to offer. And, yeah, I did contact Liverpool to see what they had. And they just didn't have anything that was suitable for me. Went along to the Everton Imagine Your Goals programme and just blew me away, totally transformed my life. I can still recall very easily that very first day walking in and just having a ball thrown at me and saying, go and kick a ball in the corner sort of thing.
I was going to say, after pledging allegiance to Dixie Dean, Duncan Ferguson and Jim Cahill, what was the next step?
Well, I tell you what,
there was none of that, by
the way. No, not at all, certainly not. What I found in day one, when you're just going in, you're treated equally immediately. You're not just the new person coming in the door because, as we've just been discussing outside, you've got people at all different levels of ability at playing football, but you've also got people at different levels in the recovery journey as well. And you see people that have progressed and doing exceptionally well, and they're probably well, but they're coming back into the programme because it keeps them ticking over. They want to be involved with the people. They've built up a relationship. And you get that feel very, very quickly. Whether it be someone who's only been there a month, they've already parted the furniture, or someone who's been there 6 years, it's very unique. I've never experienced anything like it. And it is like a proper amateur football team. When you get that buzz and being around your teammates, there is that genuine feeling immediately. I felt it day one, and after it going a couple of weeks, it was Johnny. I heard him saying something about another session somewhere else, and I just asked the question, can I go there as well? You know, I felt like a little kid asking. And it was like, of course you can go anyone you want. And I soon realised there was 4 days a week sessions that were accessible to myself, and I right away couldn't wait to get everyone. I got a genuine buzz that first time, and it's like taking medication. You take the medication, you take a painkiller, it takes away the pain for a little while, and then it wears off and the pain comes back. Well, with the football, I found it as therapy immediately. I came out of Greenbank that very first time and I was absolutely buzzing. I floated all the way up Penny Lane going home. And after maybe a day and a half, that feeling starts wearing off again and the bad thoughts come back again or the negative vibe comes back into me. But then I go back again, football, top myself up. So once I got to the stage where I was able to go 4 days a week, not only was I welcome there, I was certainly getting made to feel well.
So was it
fantastic?
Was it the power of kicking a football, or was it the power of moving around? Was it the power of the environment created, or was it the power of, you know, group mentalities that come in with football training?
It's a combination of all of that. You've got that peer support. You also very quickly start looking out for each other. You get that feeling that you have to support someone in any way you can, because they may be in the place that you were last week in their head and you just can't see it. So you have to be as strong as possible, and everyone acts that way. So you've got the camaraderie. You become like, and we all in the programme, we all call each other brothers. And you do get that genuine vibe of these guys are now family to you. It's not just like any football team. It's like the best football team. And I've played for far too many to mention, to be honest. I've travelled quite a bit playing football, and I've never experienced anything like it. The camaraderie is there, the peer support is there. I've got that physical exercise, which is fantastic. I've got that competitive edge, which I absolutely love, the competitive edge. But also we've got the friendly, having a laugh, bit of banter. That one of the first times sitting on a coach coming back or going to a tournament, I couldn't believe there was someone in the bus sitting there openly talking about his medication. I was absolutely shocked. It took me back, and I was like, wow. I thought these were things that people kept to themselves. I certainly did. But then I found I was as comfortable as they were speaking about it very quickly.
I mean, it sounds really straightforward for Colin in terms of, you know, the simplicity of it, a kick around with a group of mates, but you can be competitive when you want to be, you can enjoy yourself. But I guess from your point of view, Johnny, you're about creating that environment that people can come into and not actually be thinking about mental health problems, mental health illnesses or recovery. They can actually concentrate on who's going to be on their team, who they're going to pass to, how they're going to celebrate when they score a goal. And that just shows you that you've taken them out of that period of worry, that period of concern. You place them into a different environment where they can think about themselves in a different way.
Well, yeah, very much so. Mm-hmm. To the untrained eye, you know, walking into a sports centre, it will look no different than, you know, anything that you would see with any, you know, group of guys. And Monday, Tuesday night, right through the week, you'll see AstroTurf's full of them, of guys, you know, wearing bibs, playing football, shouting, screaming. And to a certain degree, ours won't look too dissimilar to that. But you're right in so much as it is the environment. And it is about the people and about how things are structured in a way that, yes, we are competitive. Yes, we want to encourage people to, you know, improve. But it's also not at the expense of kind of people being rude to each other or, you know, not having the right team mentality, which is very much what we try and foster and promote, as opposed to a selfish mentality. So one of our mantras is that we instead of I, and also that when you replace mental illness with mental wellness, that's what we're trying to promote ultimately. That team mentality is trying to take the point of view of not being ill, but also trying to promote the fact that we'll be well as a team collaboratively.
We've got Colin Dolan with us in the studio. We just heard from Johnny Garside there as well, from Everton in the community, already flagged up by Stan Collymore. Big fan of yours, is Stan. He seems keen for a kick around as well, Colin. So
yeah, I'm going to get Stan to come to... Stan's very good at helping promote the Mental Health Football Association as well as Everton, the community. And I'm going to get Stan involved in some of the tournaments throughout the year as well.
Brilliant stuff. We'll continue the conversation next here on Radio City Talk. It's the Mental Health Monday Marathon.
Mental Health Monday Marathon with Mick Coyle on Radio City Talk.
And we've got Everton in the community in the studio talking about the work that they do. Johnny Garside representing them, and also Colin Dolan, who's a participant in that and talks about the benefit that it's had on his life as well. Jake Mills is with us in the studio still. Everton fan as well. Jake, those connections between men and mental health services are ones which are often hard to break. Is Everton in the community a good example of one where you create a connection between people based on something they recognise? A football club badge, and it's a reason for men to go through the door when otherwise they may have thought, oh, it's probably not for me.
Yeah, it's a perfect example of how you break down those barriers, those borders. I have to say, I was introduced to Johnny and Everton and community by a guy who's been on the podcast, Andy Smith, and I went in and I think I came to see you guys when we done the Movember thing a couple of years ago, and I had to judge it, and I met Colin there as well. I have to say, everything that's being described today is there's something about the group. There's something about the group that is just really special. You feel like you're part of it as soon as you go in. And I added quite a few of them on Facebook over the years. And again, like what Colin said, it's absolutely amazing to see. If somebody puts a status or they're not feeling right or they're a little bit worried or whatever, if somebody puts something on there, one of this group that says not feeling great at the moment, they rally around each other. Mm-hmm. They comment each other. They say it's okay. They say, do you need anything? They call me. And it's like no other group that I've ever seen before. And this is a group of men. This is a group of what was strangers. You've come together because they're all going through similar things. And it just shows the absolute power of it, is that you can do it. And again, it's about these different methods of help. The football teams, the leagues that exist, people wouldn't know about them, but we need to be promoting them, we need to get them out there and say, do you know what? Help doesn't mean lying on a couch and talking about your childhood. It can mean going to have a game of football with someone, mixing with people, and looking around that team and knowing they know what you're going through or a similar thing to you.
I mean, Johnny, Colin used the phrase, we're like a band of brothers, a brotherhood as well. That must fill your heart with joy in terms of that. You've looked to create a connection. You've created that connection to the point that then the guys take that upon themselves and sort of run with that as a brotherhood that they've defined themselves.
Yeah, I'd like to take the credit for it all, but it's not the case. no, I genuinely couldn't. It'd be a disservice because ultimately, the project lives on a Word document on my computer. You know, that is essentially what the project is, with black and white, but it's embodied by the guys that come to it regularly and input into it, and they are the project. You know, they're the ones that give it its vigour and give it its uniqueness. So it's like no other project that I've managed. I've been involved in this industry for a number of years now, and manage multiple different projects, and it's one of those ones that, like Jake said, it's rare, it's special, it's unique, and it's untraditional in that it breaks loads of norms for me and what would be a typical kind of project management or a delivery plan of how you would kind of structure a project. And we provide a platform, and then ultimately the guys take ownership, and that's subtly done, and that's done in a way where people have that sense of confidence and competence to be able to take those types of roles on. But it starts to take on a life of its own then, in an organic way, where people will help shape the programme, will become ambassadors, will become so invested in it that ultimately they're in a position to then kind of mould it and shape it for everyone involved.
What have other football clubs said to you about what you've done? Do they go, can we have a look at that piece of paper that's in a Word document? Because I guess you could hand them that, but then it might not take itself on in the way that Everton and the community's taken itself on.
You're dead right, yeah. And in so much as that is Word documents and the objectives that we work towards, the budget we use, the marketing campaigns that we use, all those things are very much transferable and can be done, and it has been done to great effect in other parts of the country. But there's something to be said for that, the people factor. It really is. It's as good or as bad as the way it's been led and the people that embody it. And Colin's a prime example of that we have key statesmen and big personalities in the group that are like, I'm 100% in with the whole ethos and the values and what this project is trying to do. And therefore, when you get such champions and big personalities that live and breathe the project, it's not that it makes my job easy, it just makes the project that is. And ultimately, yes, I do have to be in a position to lead it in so much as making sure it hits objectives and we still stay on track, but it's the guys that live and breathe it that ultimately make it so unique and people feel so special and people want to come back ultimately.
The stats on suicide for men 20 to 49 are really, really concerning, aren't they, Colin? In terms of the figures that are out there, suicide rate, 75% of suicides in the UK are men compared to 25% of women as well. Is this another of the examples that we've heard on the programme since we started at 9 o'clock this morning of something else that can work? Might not work for everybody, but it can work for some people.
It works for those people that get involved, and vast majority. Don't get me wrong. I mean, because of the position I'm in with the Mental Health Football Association, I'm speaking with football programmes UK wide every single day, in excess of 100 programmes. So you're talking thousands of men. Unfortunately, I have to hear the bad news as well. Well, I hear about suicides quite regularly, unfortunately. But the vast majority of people that come onto the programme either learn to cope with their illness or they recover. That's one of the two. That's the vast majority. And of course it's not for everyone. We understand that. Same as just saying there about lying on a couch, that's not for everyone either. Going to reading therapy is not for everyone. Music therapy is not for everyone. But football therapy seems to be working for the age group that we're targeting is ideal. The draw of the football club brings you in, and then you've got that thing about, I think someone said it earlier in the show about this man up situation. A horrible expression, but when you get into the football scenario with other people and your mind's concentrating on the football, all of a sudden you become a football player. The worries that you've got outside disappear. You don't need to man up. You don't need for that. You can be honest and talk to each other. We have majority of the people involved, whether it be the Aberdeen programme or the Everton programme, that people have empathy and they understand. And that's where that peer support is probably the most important part of it. The peer support makes it... That's what makes it different, in my opinion, to any other project that I've ever been involved with or ever seen. And I certainly wouldn't have... I don't think I'd have stuck around if it wasn't for that peer support, I have to say.
Jake, I mean, often people say football clubs are only interested in the bottom line now. It's all about a money-making thing. But actually, when you've got a charitable arm like this doing work like this, it's saving lives. I mean, it is saving lives, isn't it?
Absolutely. Colin is an example of that. But, you know, there's a lot more Colins as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And as I said, the group itself, and what you see, the people who come, the people who go, it is life-saving, and it's so unique because of that. You know, we talk about the statistics with men. What an absolutely perfect way of bringing men together to be able to get them to talk and get them to, and you know, that loneliness and isolation that we hear about as well. Again, tackling that, such a fantastic initiative. And as an Everton fan, as somebody from Liverpool, it makes me immensely proud to have them as our own.
Well, the club themselves are really heavily involved in promoting good mental well-being as well, because they've had their own mental health days. They've had a match dedicated to mental health. I've been to, as you know, obviously I'm not an Everton fan, but I go to Everton games, invited to go to the match. And I've been there when Merseycare have been there, a stall, handing out mugs, pens, leaflets, having a chat. I've been there just to try and encourage people to come in and talk. And people do. People approach Merseycare. And that's the football club doing that themselves. That's not Everton, the community. That's the football club promoting mental well-being and also trying to encourage people to open up and speak about their problems. It happens at other clubs up and down the country now as well. There's a lot of clubs doing it. I mean, I'll go as far as like Peterhead in Scotland, of absolutely huge about what's going on in the local area regarding mental health. The football club, not the football community project, it's the football club itself. And Everton, without a shadow of a doubt, they're the sector leaders for Everton doing it themselves as a football club, and Everton in the community as well. We only have to look at who coaches us. We go to coaching, we go to sessions 4 days a week. The lads that are coaching us used to be participants. And that, to me, speaks volumes for how good the programme is. It's not just about us winning European trophies and things like that and travelling around the country and picking up medals and trophies here and everywhere. It's seeing Neil and seeing Danny as coaches now. And I remember when they were participants. I remember when they were ill. And now they're well, they're coping, and they're helping other people. That's fantastic to see. And to see other lads that have moved on, and they've gone moved on from the programme, they're always welcome to come back, but they've moved on with their lives. They're now, and from being ill and having to rely on handouts, the government looking after them, having to rely on family and friends to look after them all that time while they're ill, looking at going into hospitals, they're now making a really good contribution to society. They're taxpayers. They've got their own house. They're not on any benefits whatsoever. They're now making a real positive contribution to society. And if it wasn't for the football, some of them might not have recovered.
And as well, what is really important as well is that it gives them something to look forward to. And that is really important, because, you know, it is a therapy, it is help, but it's not something that you might dread going to. Oh, I've got to go and see this counsellor again. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm willing to do all that. It's something to look forward to see your friends and to say, and also it's going to make me well. And that idea of having something to look forward to, something to get through today because you've got that tomorrow, is really, really important.
Johnny, just tell us about the sort of the options that are open for people if they're listening to this and thinking, oh, actually, I might want to get involved in that or find out a little bit more information. Just tell us about like the numbers of people that you have going through the programme at the moment and the different projects that you've got that other people might want to find out more information about.
Yeah, I would direct people in the first instance to check us out on our website, Everton in the Community. A simple Google search will bring that website up, and you can have a scroll through at your own leisure the different projects that we run. And on the website there will be a tab there for health and wellbeing, so you can kind of categorise the types of projects that you want to focus on more specifically. And in there will be the full portfolio of the projects that we run, with an overview and contact details for how to get more involved. What I will say just on the guys who have just mentioned there is that, yes, we coin it as football therapy, and it's a non-clinical form of therapy, but it is actually listening clinical outcomes, which is something quite unique in so much as we've been able to validate the actual impact that it's having. And on Colin's point around one of the objectives we have is in supporting people on the programme to imagine their goals, whatever they are, and in a lot of cases it is getting back into work or getting into the job market for the first time. And we've done a recent social return on investment analysis a couple of years ago, and we supported 22 service users back into full or part-time work, and it actually elicited close to £500,000 worth of social return in terms of taking that cohort of people from benefits into employment, the contributions that that then made to the Exchequer, obviously with reductions in medication and so on, which all has a cost-saving impact. So beyond it being a kick about with some friends and feeling good and, you know, the peer support, it's actually in a position to, you know, back up the claims that we make beyond it just being, as I say, a good kick around. And to the tone that we engage 200 service users per week. A service user is an NHS term, but that just means people, participants, across seven different locations across Merseyside. And that's just Imagine Your Goals. And we've got another six different health and wellbeing projects that will have a strategic focus around mental health. So there's a lot going on, and the website would be the first point of call. And by all means, get in touch with the station here, and we can give more information in due course.
Brilliant stuff. And Colin, how do you view it now in terms of those football sessions? Do you still see it as part of your recovery? Do you now see that as something you can just look forward to? Is that part of your, well, it's something I want to do?
It's ongoing therapy. It was part of my recovery. But recovery for me is ongoing. I'm bipolar, so I know I'm going to have good times, I'm going to have bad times, I'm going to have some very, very good times. But for me, it's just ongoing therapy. I don't act any differently when I go Wednesday to I did when I went 3 years ago. I don't treat it any differently. I look forward to it the exact same way. Just want to go along there, see the lads, be myself, which is really, really important to be able to be in a comfortable position where I can actually be myself, because I went through years of not being me. So now being myself when I'm with those lads is so important. So I look forward to it just for a kickabout, but I also look forward to it because it gives me that lift that I need when things might not be brilliant through work or at home or just in my head for just a short time. That walking over that white line, football, I concentrate on the football. Everything else goes. It just disappears. And I mean, it disappears. I'm more worried about where Danny Kennedy's going to go than what's going on in the back of my mind. You know, I'm more concerned, is Derek going to take me to the cleaners here again? That's the sort of things that go through my mind. I'm thinking about football, getting the lads involved and try to organise them. And the rest of the stuff that's going on in my head simply disappears. So, yeah. To me, it's ongoing therapy, and I look forward to it very much every time.
I'm seeing vocal centre-half with Colin. I don't know, I've never seen him play.
Very much.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, big time.
You just get a sense with some people, don't you?
No one's going to answer back to
that. Colin, thank you for your time. Great to see you again.
Pleasure.
See you again very
pleasure,
soon.
Man.
Johnny Garside, thank you for your time too.
Mental Health Monday Marathon. Tackling the Stigma.